Your energy. The way some of you look, you probably should just go ahead and conserve your energy. I look around sometimes and I wonder, where did all the young people go? And thankfully, the choir was full today, but I'm getting old. And I'm getting old whenever I'm the young preacher for Youth Sunday. Did Connor not do a great job opening? Amen. Connor, keep on, buddy. Just keep on going for Jesus. All you young people, the kids that are coming on the piano and all that, and that was just a small portion of who was able to play today. Everybody's got a talent, couldn't use it today or display it today. But anyway, church, if there is going to be a church of tomorrow, it's here today, and it's right in our church, and it's right in our sanctuary, and I thank God for that. Over the years, I've gone to many, many places, and they're just void of young people. Sometimes it's because they're in the mountainous regions of Ashe, Allegheny, Avery County, where I run revivals and stuff, and you'll go in, and everybody in there is like me. They're either bald or gray. And there's just absolutely no young people. And what's happened, there's young people grown up, got educated, and then went off. And they were seeking employment, got education, and that employment took, the education took them to employment, and deployment took them away from the mountains. And we're just blessed here at Calvary to have this good crowd of people. I am the young preacher for today, so I asked if you would pray for me. I mentioned in the prayer circle to pray for the young preacher today, and here he is, so y'all pray for me today. Book of 2 Chronicles, and if you, there's two parallels. If you don't know, the Chronicles and the Kings kind of coincide. Their passages of scriptures very closely emulate each other. You could go to the book of 2 Kings, and I will even use a reference or a couple references out of the book of 2 Kings, chapter number 22 through 24, but I'm going to primarily take my text out of 2 Chronicles chapter number 33. And even though I'm not a young preacher, I used to feel like one of the young preachers. I'm not that much anymore. I feel like I've got a message to the young people today. I kept praying, Lord, who do you want me to get for Youth Sunday? Who do you want me to get for Youth Sunday? And the Lord never put anybody on my heart. And only another pastor or preacher would know what I'm talking about. Brother Gwen, you got to have it. It's either got to be there or it's not. So you say, well, you could have just picked somebody. No, I want the one that the Lord wants. So that's what we're doing today. And I want you to, if I were to title the message, it's simply this: while you're young. While you're young. I want you to do things while you're young. It seems like we put life on hold. I myself have just browbeat myself, and I don't care to tell you, six years ago, I was offered a retirement from the Postal Service, and at that time, I'm going to be honest with you, Calvary, I was your pastor, and I lacked faith, and it's almost as if life got put on hold, and 2019 was my, what's the word I would use? It was my most arduous year in the ministry. It was the hardest by far of any of the other. I've been pastor now for 17 plus years, and during those years, 19. This year alone. You say, what are you going to do about that? I'm totally surrendered to God to leave when God tells me to leave, and I'll go when God tells me to go, and I'm waiting on Him to tell me to leave, and I want that to happen, because what happens is we put our lives on hold. I'll serve the Lord when. I'll serve the Lord when I retire. No, you won't. You might continue to do that, but you better do it while you're waiting to get to that point. Many of you in here, I'll start a family. When? What, when you can afford it? Brian, can you afford 6 kids? Still can't. They all look pretty healthy. Where's, I'm looking around. Seth, can you afford to feed 2 more mouths? You just picked up 2 this past week. If y'all don't know, are they there with you? I can't see. They're over. Oh, they're up front. Nico and Nevaeh are now Osbournes. Amen. You could have said, well, we'll adopt the children when we can afford to. I'll serve the Lord when. The message today is while you're young. You better do things while you're young, because you're going to turn around in about 2 shakes of a lamb's tail, and you're no longer going to be young, and your youth is going to be gone. Your biological clock has continued to tick. What used to look old to you is now seeming young. I used to think people in their 50s were old. I really did. I thought people in their 50s, I thought that, Brother Derek, when I was in my teens or in my 20s. I'd see people in their 60s as elderly people. And now that I'm pushing, getting on up into my 50s and pushing towards 60, I'm thinking you folks are young people. And now I think people in their 80s and 90s are old. But I'm sure when I get there, I'll look back and think, where in the world did time go? Where did it all go? You better do things while you're young, because it's going to be gone just like that. And you're going to turn around, Miss Vicki, you'll be burying your mother. You're going to turn around, you're going to be burying a spouse. You're going to be burying a loved one. And all these things come. Why? Because we age up and we age out. That is the maturation process. We are supposed to bury our parents. And just last year, we laid my mother to rest. And I'm telling you, these things come about because we're getting old, Tam. Your daddy passed this year. Why? Because he was getting older while you're young. Preaching today about a young king by the name of Josiah. Anybody ever heard of Josiah? He was one of the youngest kings to ever rule. Where's my 8-year-old? Connor, are you 8? 11. Case in point, you're getting old. Have I got it? Levi, where's Levi? Levi, are you 8? He's 6. You're too young to be a king. Levi, not your Levi, this Levi.
Samuel is 7.
Huh?
Samuel,
where are you, Samuel? Come up here, Samuel, the would-be king. And I'm not being facetious. I'm being biblical. Come here, Samuel. Come up here, buddy. You said, well, God imparted wisdom unto the 8-year-old. Is it because he had godly parents? We'll find that out in a minute. Was it because he had a godly grandpa? We'll find that out in a minute. Was his daddy was really godly? Was that? We'll find that out in a minute. When will you turn 8?
March the 12th.
March the 12th. He's going to have a birthday. He's going to turn 8. And we're not going to put him in charge of a Sunday school class. We're not going to make him a county commissioner. We're not going to put him as the principal or administrator of a school. We're not going to make him the governor of the state of North Carolina or the president of the United States. But what we're going to do is we're going to make him a king and put him over all of Judah. How about that? And the Bible then said, and when he had reigned 8 years, being at the age of 16, Josiah then started... Let's just get into the matter. Are you ready to be a king? Oh, I just can't wait to be king. Right? All right, go sit down. You said, what'd you bring that up for? It's a visual. We read these stories, Brother Gwynn, he's an 8-year-old king. And we just go right, blow right past that. God imparted wisdom to Josiah in that while he was young, God put his hand on that young man. You said it was only because his daddy had been king and his grandpa had been king and his forefathers had been kings. And that's the way that it worked in that time, that when you were the would-be heir of the throne, that's what happened. But he could have followed in the footsteps of his forefather and not been a righteous king. But Josiah believed God and took God at his word. And that's what I want you to do today. I want you to put this message to heart and do something for God while that you're yet young. We've got our lives sometimes on hold. I've been trying my best to labor while I'm waiting. While I'm working, while I'm waiting, I'm trying to work. And while I'm doing these things, I'm just patiently trying to wait on God. Has there been a price to pay for disobedience? Has there been a price to pay for us not following exactly, precept by precept, word by word, detail by detail, the things that you better believe there's a price to pay? Eternity is in the balance here. Some of you will prolong kids, having kids. And what you're doing is, you're putting, when you say, well, I'm not going to have a child this year, or we're not going to get married till later on, we're not going to do this till later on. What you're doing is you're changing history. Because if you're supposed to have a child that would be born right now, and God was going to bless that child, he would be in that grade level at that particular time, going to that particular university, that particular place at that particular time, that he might meet somebody else that was raising their children to the same godly standard you were, and God was going to put it all together. You said, well, God can do anything. But whenever we put life on hold, you better do it while you're young. Where's my young people today? I'll get to that in just a second. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 33 and verse number 1, Manasseh was 12 years when he began to reign, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem, but did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, like unto the abominations of the heathen and whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. We go from Manasseh, chapter number 33 and verse number 1 and 2 over to, we'll just go flip over to, still in the 33rd chapter, and we'll be in, this is Manasseh's son Ammon. Ammon was in verse number 21. Ammon was 22 years old when he began to reign. So then we see that Manasseh was 12 and he began to reign, and he reigned 55 years. So he was 67 years old, or whatever it is there, do the math. But then he passed away. And then whenever he passed away in verse number 20, you'll see that Manasseh slept with his father. But the Bible said that he did wickedly in the sight of God. Then Ammon took the throne. And the Bible said for 22 years old, that Ammon began to reign. And he reigned 2 years and only 2 years. But he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as did Manasseh his father. For Ammon sacrificed unto all the carved images which Manasseh his father had made and served them. And he humbled not himself before the Lord as Manasseh his father had humbled himself. But Ammon trespassed more and more, and his servants conspired against him and slew him in his own house. But the people of the land slew all of them, and they conspired against King Ammon. And the people of the land made Josiah his son the king in his stead. Now it brings it to 34, which will be the next few verses, will be the text for today's message. Josiah was 8 years old. In other words, he's briefly older than young Samuel that stood here. But the Bible said Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years. So for 30 years, he reigned from the age of 8 for 31 years. He would have been 39 years old at the end of his tenure as the king. But look at verse number 2. The Bible said, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, he began to reign at 8. Do the math. He is now 8 years in. He is a 16-year-old boy. I don't know where my 16-year-old's at. Clay, is that you, 16? A 17? Have I got any 16? Do I hear a 16? Calvin, put your hand down. There's any 16-year-olds in the house? Right here, one of the fall boys is Grayson, 16. He's been the king now since Samuel's age, and here he is at the age of 16. The Bible said, when he had, in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, and that's what I want you to hear, while he was yet young, while he was yet young. Are you hearing me today? While you're young, do something for God. While he was yet young, the Bible said he began to seek after God, the God of David, his father, and in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah. At the age of 20, he's bearing down. He's doing something for God. So at the age of 20, the Bible said, in the 12th year began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from their high places and the groves and carved images and the molten images. And they break down the altars of Balaam in his presence, and the images that were on high above them he cut down, and the groves and the carved images and the molten images he break into pieces and made dust of them and strode it upon the graves of them that had sacrificed unto them. And he burnt the bones of the priest upon their altars and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. What a scripture we have before us. Brother Varun, ask God to bless our scripture reading today, and then you may be seated as we bring this message while you're young. Amen. Some of you are staring at me like a calf in a new gate, and you don't think that what I'm telling you is the God's honest truth, but I'm telling you that it is. There was a man by the name of Alan Church, and his wife's name was Nellie, and Nellie and Alan Church lived in the land up on the upper end of Boone Trail, about where the Phillips might live now, or where David and Connie Bird live, and they had bought land up there, Brother David, and Alan and Nellie Church were going to build a house up there on the upper end of Boone Trail, which put Miss Cindy going to which elementary school? Miss Cindy would have went to Mount Pleasant Elementary School. But while she was yet young, the land up there would not perk. And if you don't know what that means, it means they could not get water. And they had drilled some 3,000 and some feet down, Brother Tam, and just couldn't get water on the piece of land that they had bought. You say, well, it's pretty naive to somebody to buy a piece of land that they didn't know would or would not have water on or would not perk. That was a long time ago. A long time ago, they didn't do all of the simple tests that we do nowadays. And now we've got to have a Texas team of 5,000. Lawyers to find out if it's ever got any wood destroying insects and this and that and 20 million other things. But let me tell you, while she was yet young, Alan and Nellie Church moved their family. They found a little piece of property and bought a house then in the land of Clingman, which did what to Miss Cindy at the age of 10? It changed her whole direction in life. Why? Because while she was yet young, she couldn't say, I don't want to go down there. I don't want to be a part of that. But what that did is this. It put her in the Rhonda Clingman School District, which was one of the feeder schools to East Wilkes High School. And while my parents had me, I was born in Havre de Grace, Maryland. My parents migrated south, and as they migrated south, I come under the canopy of the CBL or school system, which is another feeder school to East Wilkes High School. What are you getting at, preacher? I'm telling you this, that because that woman, while she was yet young, was brought into the land that she raised on, she got saved at Pleasant Grove Baptist Church at the age of 11, which was in Clingman, North Carolina, because that's where she went to church. Her salvation experience, you said, well, she might have got saved elsewhere. She might have, but I'm just telling you as it is in the scriptures. Josiah was this, Josiah was that, and I'm telling you as it is, Will, she got saved at the age of 11. I got saved at the age of 13. We both end up at East Wilkes High School. She's 14, I'm 13, and little did we know that God would put us together. You said, well, that's the end of that story. Not so. Had we not come together, we would have never had Mara and Macy. If we had never had Mara and Macy, and if she had never moved to the Rhonda Clingman District and never gone to East Will, this man right here, being Preston Walker, he would not have married her because there would have been no her. Now, you see what I'm saying? While you're young, things are going to take place in our life that they solely and wholly stack up to make God's perfect tapestry and canopy look the way that it does. A tapestry in and of itself, it'll be a beautiful picture. Turn that thing around backward. I challenge you women that do this cross stitch and needlepoint and all these other things, turn around your tapestry. Turn it around and look at the back of it. What is that? It's a bunch of matted up knots. It's not pretty at all. It's got broken thread. It doesn't look good because of the knots where you've had to tie it off. But let's God spin that thing around, and the tapestry of God's grace is on display. And that's the way our lives are. We're a knotted up mess of just a whole bunch of stuff. But God's using it to His good and His glory. He's using it to paint a canvas that, to the eye, I'm the most blessed man in this whole church, I promise you. I see people going to the altar and crying out. I saw Kelsey up there just praising the Lord. No doubt she's thanking God for you and thanking God for Gideon. Thanking God for Nico and Nevaeh. Thanking God for this. You feel like you've been blessed. And sometimes that's the way we are. We just feel like us, one of God's little pets, but that's the way I feel. When you look at me, I think you're looking at the most blessed man that ever did grace the planet Earth. So while you're young, I'm going to give this to you real quickly. We'll be out of here just as quick as I can get done. It's not a lengthy message. It's very simple points. It's found right in the scriptures. Look at verse number 2 and verse number 3 of the 34th verse or chapter where we started. Primarily verse number 3. While you're young, seek after God. Seek the Lord. Look what it says. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David. That's my first point. Josiah didn't worry about the societal pressures of the day. Societal pressure, if they say you shouldn't do that, you shouldn't do this, and you must conform to the jelly mold of humanity. Everybody's a cookie cutter mold of the same thing. No, we're not. You have distinct and unique gifts, and God will use those gifts to further the kingdom of his own cause, Brother Gwynn. You've got your own set of agenda. You've got your own things to do. But Josiah could have simply sat around and said, well, there's paganism all around me. There's witchcraft and sorcery, and you'd have to go back and read some of the things, and it was found in the book of 2 Kings, how that all that was going about. There was all kinds of idol worship going on. There was all types of different things that would be attributable to idolatry. But Josiah did not let the societal pressures of the day force him or confine him to that cookie-cutter mold that everybody else thought that he should be. He said, I'm not going to do that. He could have simply blamed his heritage. He said, well, Ammon was above his daddy. He did evil in the sight of the Lord. Manasseh, he did evil in the sight of the Lord. He could have looked around and said, it's because of my heritage. I'm not going to make a mount of anything in my life for God. I'm just not going to do it. But the Bible said in that while he was young. Look in verse number 3. While he was yet young. Are you hearing me? While he was yet young, Josiah did seek after God. So I'm telling you and challenging you first and foremost tonight, young people, Miss Becky, Miss Hannah, Miss Grace, Miss Brianna, and Kayla, and you beautiful children, seek the Lord. Seek Him in all things because your future depends upon it. Your future mate depends upon it. Your children depends upon it. Where you're going to live going to depend upon it. Where you're going to work depends upon it. Seek the Lord in all things and pray about these things and then get your answer from God and go with that answer. It makes a difference.
Amen.
It makes a difference.
Amen.
I've looked back early on. I thought I should have just stayed in the military. Anthony, where are you at, son? Did Anthony have to step out with a baby? Senior master sergeant, whatever he is in the military and or Air National Guard and Reserves. I think to myself, I wish I just stayed in. I'd have retired at 38 years old. I couldn't have lived at 38 years old any easier than I'm living now, because you can't retire at 20-year military career and live on that. Why? Because you're too young. You can't even get to any of your other monies, which comes about with age. Think to myself, well, I should have done this, should have done that. Brother Varun, someday you're going to look back and say, should have done this. Should have done that. Brother Tam, how many times you said, I should have done this. Should have done that. Some of you did things in life. Brother Grant said, I wish I hadn't have done that. Boy, I wish I hadn't done that. But how many times have we said, boy, I wish I'd done that. I'm telling you now, seek God. The Bible said in that third verse that while he was yet young, he was seeking the Lord. It said that he began to seek. It didn't say he knew God. God was not a part of his vernacular. God was not a part of his life. God was not a... Why? Because that wasn't in his heritage. Brother Tim, you were brought to church. Miss Carol was brought to church. You were brought to church. Most of us in the Bible Belt, we were brought to church. And that's how we learned about God. Somebody brought us to church. That wasn't the case for young Josiah. His grandpa Manasseh did wickedly in the sight of God. His daddy did wickedly in the sight of God. But God had his hand on this young 8-year-old king. He began while he was yet young to seek after the Lord. And that's what I'm asking you today. Just seek after the Lord. And then once he was close enough to hear, look what it said. That he, in the 12th year, the Bible said in the 8th year, while he was young, he began to seek after the Lord. 4 years later. It was not a knee-jerk reaction to something that happened in his kingdom. It was not some flippant, careless, reckless, unaccountable thing that he did. He sought God. And then because of that, 4 years to the day, or 4 years later, the Bible said he heard from heaven. And look what he did. He began to purge Judah from the high places and the groves and the carved image and the molten images. He break down the altar. You say, what's he doing? He had sought after the Lord. And because he had sought after the Lord, he determined in his heart that he was going to sanctify the land in which he lived. And that's my next point, if you're keeping up with it. Seek the Lord and then sanctify the land which is around you. You say, I don't have any land around me. Bless God, start with your own heart. Start with your own home and sanctify that first. You say, what does that mean to sanctify something? It means to set it aside for the kingdom of God and for his use and his glory. Sanctify your own heart. Sanctify your own home. You said, I don't have any much expanse. I don't have any curtilage in which is my charge. I don't have anything to really protect. I don't have, Brian, you've got the curtilage, and your curtilage is part of your heritage. It's a piece of land down there. And every one of these beautiful kids and your wife, they're all within your own charge. Sanctify that part. Set that part apart for God and make sure that that part's well taken care of first, and then reach out. He started right at home. Look what it said. It said in verse number 4, in verse number 3, he began to purge Judah. He started right there and he purged Jerusalem. He said, I'm going to start right here, work my way out. We can't change America, my friend. We can't change the United States, but we can sure change Wilkes County. We can change my heart. You can change your home and you can change your own lives. You can change heritage. Where'd Jody Phillips go? Jody, I use you only because of the fact that everybody previously in your lineage, well, they weren't saved. You weren't brought up in a preacher's house, such as some others. You were brought up under a little rougher circumstances. You were exposed to other sins, maybe that they were, but you know what? You were both just as lost as the same lost person was. Lost on a daddy's church pew, in the church your daddy pastored, lost in a drunk's home or whatever you come out of. And I'm not saying his daddy was drunk, because I don't know that. I shouldn't have even said that. But you weren't saved. Nobody above you were saved. Go back to Brother Woody. Woody had no trouble telling people that God changed his fountain. So you said, what are you preaching there, preacher? Sanctify your land. Sanctify your own place. Start with me. And work myself, work out. Is that not what the scripture said in the book of Acts? You start here and you work out and you go here and go here into the uttermost parts of the world. You start at Jerusalem, then Samaria, and then work your way out like this into the uttermost parts of the world. You can't change the world. You can sure change your own heart. until Judah's land was sanctified or set apart, purged of his sins of witchcraft and idolatry and false worship. He can't clean anybody else's up until he cleans his own up. You can't give anybody else Jesus till you get Jesus yourself. You won't tell anybody else to forsake drugs and alcohol, pornography, anything else if you're still dabbling in it. You're not going to be able to preach the righteousness and the holiness of God by your lifestyle. You sit there, you preaching lifestyle evangelism. In a sense, I am, Brother Gwen. People are looking at us. They're looking at us to see what we're going to do and when we're going to do it and how we're going to do it. I'm telling you, while you're young, seek the Lord. And while you're young, sanctify that part of the land that God's given you. Jabez, the prayer thereof, he said, Lord, keep your hand upon me. He said, Lord, would you keep me from evil? You know the prayer of Jabez as found in the Chronicles. And then he goes on and he said, Lord, enlarge my coast.
Amen.
But the enlargement of coast only came apart after he said, Lord, bless me. Bless me indeed. Keep your hand upon me and keep me from evil. And then that's the same thing that David said. The Bible said in the 51st division of Psalm that David said, Lord, would you purge me with hyssop? Would you cleanse me, make me whiter than snow? He said, then I'll teach transgressors their way. You got to start at home. But that's what young Josiah did in verses number 3 and 4, the 8th year of his reign. While he was young, he began to seek after God. There was to seek the Lord. And then it said that he began to sanctify the land in which he... I'm telling you what, start with your own place. Work your way out. Just because Manasseh did it, just because Ammon did it, just because others have done it, does not make it right. Nor does it make it that you have to go follow that. You say, well, if you're raised in a drunkard's home, you're going to be a drunkard. Not so. If you're raised in a home where the wife or the spouse is abused, you're going to be an abuser. No, you're not. If you're raised in this, no, you're not. God's bigger than that. If you say, I'm going to be a drunk because I raised by a drunk, you're limiting God. You shouldn't limit the Holy One of Israel. I'm going to keep trucking, sanctify your own land. Start at home. Clean house. Start with yourself before you start trying to clean somebody else up of their sin. Jump all the way down. I stopped earlier. I've got to read a little lengthy passage right here because you've got to see this. It's a beautiful thing right here. In verse number 8, Josiah is now 26 years old, if you're going to go back and do the math. I did a little footnote over here when I was doing it as I was studying this. Now, in the 18th year of his reign, that's nothing more than 8. He began to reign at 8, and he had 18 years. In the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land, the house of Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, and Manasseh, the governor of the city, and Joah, the son of Joaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. For time's sake, let me go on down here. He introduces us to a guy by the name, a high priest by the name of Hilkiah. We're going on down. And Hilkiah is the high priest that is ministering unto young Josiah. Verse number 14 is where I'll pick up. The next one is this. I said, serve the Lord. Seek the Lord. Sanctify your land. How about this one? Study the law. You said, we're not under the law. Boy, it'll make you appreciate grace. It sure will. You said, we're not shut up under the law. The law is the schoolmaster. Is that not what the scripture teaches us in the book of Galatians that points us to Christ and to grace? Here's what it is. They have been living on the words through the ministry of the priest, but they did not have the Torah. They did not have the books of the Pentateuch. They didn't have Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. They didn't have that. Because look what it says in verse number 14. It said, when they had brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, and you would go back and find about the artificers and those other things that they went out and bought and brought in. But it says here, all the things they could have brought, the money, the instruments, and everything they could have brought into the house of God, they could have brought it to the temple, they could have brought it, and you could bring it into your family, but it will not do any good until you start studying the law, start studying the Word of God. Because look what it says. When they brought the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found a book of the law of the Lord that was given by Moses. Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah delivered the book to Shaphan. And Shaphan carried the book to the king and brought the king word back again saying, all that was committed to thy servants, they do it. And they have gathered together the money that was found in the house of the Lord and delivered it to the hand of the overseers and to the hand of the workmen. Then Shaphan the scribe told the king saying, Hilkiah the priest hath given me the book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass when the king heard the words of the law that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah and Ahikam, the son of Shaphan of Abdon, the son of Micah, and the Shaphan the scribe, and Asaiah, the king's the servant of the king, go inquire of the Lord for me and for them that are left in Israel and Judah concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do after what is written. You say, what's that all about? Best God, whenever he knew he was doing right. As a young king, he had purposed it in his heart. At 16, he began to seek the Lord. At 16 to 18 and 20, he began to purpose the land. But here we are now in the 18th year of his rule, Brother Grant, at 26 years old. Now he knows, Brother Tam, why he's doing it. Before, he was just listening to words. He's listening to people. But now they found the book. And Hilkiah, the high priest, has taken it and read it and brought it to Shaphan and said, look, go tell the king what I've read. And he said, God, help us. Seek the Lord on our behalf because we've done wickedly. And the judgment of God, the wrath of God is poured out upon us in that 21st verse. It tells us that. And best God, I'm telling you, seek the word, study the word, love the word, live the word, because it is the word of God that'll change us, my friends. Parents, you want better kids? Study the word. You want a better church? Study the word. You want to be a better deacon? Study the word. You want to be a better husband? Study the word. You want to be a better wife? Study the word. You want to be a better child? Study the word. Study the word. Job chapter number 23. Verse number 10 said, he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. He said, my foot had held his steps, and his way have I kept and not declined. He said, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips, and I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Until you want the word of God more than your necessary food, until you want it that bad, you're not really going to be one that would be given to God. Do it while you're young. Do it while you're young. Bible studies to show thee the souls to study to show thyself approved unto God. Do it while you're young. Live for the Lord while you're young. Nothing can transform you. The Bible said, be not conformed to this world, be what? Transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. How are you going to renew your mind? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. How are you going to do that, Brother Darren? Study the word. Study his word. Nothing can transform you. Listen, young people. Connor, listen to me just a minute, will you? Ella, listen to me. Connor, listen to me. Elena, listen to me. Preston, listen to me. You said you're in the little crowd. Get over here to the big crowd. Four girls, listen to me while you're young. Nothing can transform you. I, your pastor. Grace, did you remember, how old are you now, honey? 18, 19, 18? Do you remember Brother Feldman's ministry? I mean, you'd have been a little kid when I came here 11, almost 12 years ago. You'd have been a little kid. You still remember his ministry, right? He tried to mold you. He tried to help y'all. He's tried to help you, Ben. See, these little kids under the age of Connor, and they don't remember Brother Feldman. I'm the only pastor they've ever known. That scares me to high heaven. That sets me upright. It makes me live just a little closer. I'm telling you, it does. It's an upright thing whenever you start. Lily, do y'all even remember Preacher Feldman much? How old are you, honey? You were two. You can't say you remember Brother Feldman. You might. I mean, you knew of him in later years coming through here. But, damn, that stands me upright. You know why? Because as hard as Brother Feldman might have tried to transform you, as hard as I've tried to transform you, I can't do that. As much as you tried to transform that little rebellious heart called Thomas. I love him. He's wild as a buck. I'm out here one day and he comes across the yard on a motorcycle that's probably as big as a, I don't know what it was. He's riding it like this and just a crazy kid. While you were trying to transform that child, you couldn't do it. Grandpa couldn't do it. Manasseh and Amnon could have been a detriment to young Josiah. But God was bigger than Amnon. God was bigger than Manasseh. And even as we try in our weak way to mold and shape our children, we can't transform them. We don't have that severability. We just don't. But God does. Your coaches at school, they try their best to transform you. They can't transform you. And I love teachers. Don't think I'm not. I don't. Because we've got a whole host of teachers. Angie, much as you try to transform them little minds, where'd the other teachers go? I got another one. Back here's Miss Martha. And over there's a teacher, Miss Jamie, Miss Mar, Preston. They've all taught school, teach school, have taught school. Principals, teachers, coaches. You can't transform their young minds. You try. You try to impart wisdom and knowledge into them. But you can't transform them. You can teach them reading, writing, arithmetic. But when it comes down to that old heart, it's going to take God to get a hold of that. It's going to take God to get a hold of that. And I tell you kids, listen, Brother Steve Pope preached a message some time ago, and I love the message. I never forgot it. He preached on those rumble strips of life. That's your pastors and preachers and principals and all these people trying to keep you. You said, what's a rumble strip? Drive down the interstate and run off the road a little bit. You'll find one. It's that thing that goes, what's it doing, Brother Will? Trying to get you back over in the center of the lane. That's what we as parents have always tried to do, just get you back into the center of the way, get you back on the right way. Why? Because if you get off that way, what's going to happen, Brother Brian? You're going to hit something. You're going to get hurt. Going to be a guardrail over there. There's going to be a tree over there. Going to be some obstacle over there. You're going to have to hit that thing head on. You're going to have to find out for your hard way the lessons. Josiah, I'm going to go back all the way back with me to the book of 2 Kings. I told you I'd go then. I'm just about done. I'm quitting here in just a minute. Seems like on Youth Sunday, and I'm not saying change it. Just bear with me while I'm preaching, though. I'm saying this on Youth Sunday. When you have 4 or 5 piano recitals and people start praying and using the altar and all that, sometimes I don't mount the pulpit until 9:45 or something, so don't fall out with me because I'm now at 9:50, okay? I just want to finish this up. Somebody needs to hear this. Only God's Word can transform you. No preacher, no parent, no principal, no teacher, no coach, nobody can transform you. I'm in the book of 2 Kings now. And like I told you, in the book of 2 Kings, it kind of mirrors the chapters that are there in the Chronicles. Chapter number 22 of 2 Kings, verse number 1, kind of picks up the parallel reading. And it says that Josiah was 8 years old and began to reign, and reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jedidah, the daughter of Abdullah of Boscath. We go on down through there. I'm not going to recap the whole story, but in verse number 8, look what it says. This is an abbreviated version where I was preaching from a little while ago. The Bible said, "And Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it." And then you'll see they took that word to the king. And then I want you to jump forward to chapter number 23, and I'm almost done. And here's the latter point. I told you to seek the Lord. I told you to sanctify the land. I told you to study the law. And here comes the last thing. Serve the Lord. We get people all the time come through here and say, I just got saved. Thank you for staying. Tomorrow's Brother James's birthday, by the way. He don't turn another year older. It just means he got saved 1 year ago tomorrow. Right here. I can take you within 1 inch of where he was bowed when you got saved. Thank you that when you got saved, you had a desire and a hunger to keep coming. Tam, we've seen them march through here time and again. So they got saved. They say they're saved. Brother Gwen, you don't never see them again. Maybe they are saved, but they're still so yet carnal. I don't know. That's not between me and them. That's between them and God. But thank you for staying. In the latter part of that, I told you to seek the Lord to sanctify the land. And I told you to study the law. Here, serve the Lord. Do it for their sake. Do it for Ryland's sake. Do it for Chrislyn's sake. Do it for Megan's sake. She's expecting a husband that's going to love her like a husband should be loving to a wife. Here we are in the book of 1 Kings. Am I getting anywhere? Am I helping y'all at all? Or did I just get up here for 25 minutes and make a mess? I'm trying to help you while you're young. The Bible says in that 23rd chapter of the book of 2 Kings, it makes a difference. You said it's only because Josiah had a good lineage, a good heritage. He had a goodly home. No, he didn't. Everything was stacked against him. the cards that he were dealt were stacked against him. You say, well, we can go back and read that Manasseh finally humbled himself. The Bible does say that in chapter number 33, in verse number 12, that Manasseh, when he was in such affliction, he besought the Lord and he humbled himself greatly before the Lord God. And he prayed unto him and entreated of him. And the Bible said, heard his supplication and brought him again to Jerusalem. And then Manasseh knew that the Lord was God. But the Bible says in verse number 17, nevertheless, the people still did sacrifice in the high places, yet the Lord only, unto the Lord their God only. I'm telling you, my friend, it was little too late for Manasseh. But it didn't have to be that way to Josiah, because he's own man. You're your own man. You'll stand before God in judgment as your own self one day. And here's where I talked about serving the Lord. Verse number 25 of that 23rd chapter of the book of 2 Kings says this. And like unto him, was there no king before him. Sounds like he was a pretty honorable king as a young 8-year-old king. And he reigned for ever how many years? I told you that he had reigned for, 28 years or whatever that it was. It said that he was 8 years old. He reigned for 31 years. But anyway, the Bible said that there was no king like before him, that turned to the Lord with all of his heart, all of his soul, with all of his might, according to all the law of Moses. And listen, that said there was none like before him. Look at this. Neither after him arose or any like him. So before Josiah and after Josiah, there was none quite like him. There were other honorable kings. There were other good kings. There were other noble men that did great works. But the Bible said before him, there was no such king. And after him, there was another one like him. He served the Lord. Amen. While you're young, I challenge you to serve the Lord. While you're young, don't put life on hold thinking, well, something will happen down the road, blah, blah, blah. Serve God. While you're waiting and while you're still yet young, do something for a holy God. Please do it for God. Miss Macy, come to the piano. Just start playing softly, Brother Scott, or whichever one, Justin, Brother Scott's got the song. As we stand over the house today, while you're young, please hear me, while you're young. Brother Brian, wouldn't we like to go back just a day or two and do something just a little bit different, tweak this and tweak that? I can go back through the church. Brother Larry, wouldn't you like to go back? Wouldn't we all like to go to a point in time, Brother Chris, do something just a little bit differently than we've done it? Robert, wouldn't you just like to go back and maybe fix that little part? Ken, there's several things in your life that you'd like to go back. I'd just like to readjust that a little bit. Every one of those readjustments would have changed the course of humanity. Y'all ever saw Back to the Future trilogy? Nobody ever watched Back to the Future? Every single one of those events, the fish under the sea dance, y'all remember this?
Yeah.
The enchantment under the sea dance, you big idiot. Every one of those things had an impact on future events. And that is so, so true. Everything. Y'all don't know this, and I'm almost done. Macy went on to become a paralegal. Got her degree. Do you realize that Macy, following Big Sister's footsteps, had a roommate at Lenoir Ryan University, had a move-in date, had a parking place with her name on it, met her roommate, and was going to get her bachelor's degree in nursing. We had been over there time and again. She come to us one day and said, I've been praying. If your kid comes to you and said, I've been praying, you better listen. She said, I'm not supposed to be over there. I don't know what would have happened, but I grant you that it would have changed the course of the future. There's no way that it couldn't have changed things. She would have met a different circle of people. Everything would have changed. Would she have still married Jake? I don't know. I could hope so. I got a great son-in-law, but it would have changed some things. Everything about our lives is hinged upon seeking the Lord and doing it way early enough in our lives to find His will for our lives. Brother Scott, what have you got?